water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
It's good to be in church tonight and have another opportunity to worship. Let's not waste a moment of tonight's service. Let's worship. Let's do what we're here to do. I'm going to ask Brother Terry to come. We've got several prayer requests for tonight. If we could, let's remember Brother Baker. He's requesting prayers for his eyes and his legs. Also for Sister Linda Jablonski. Sister Tessa turns that in. She's very sick. Couldn't be in church tonight. This is a praise report here. I would like to thank everyone for all the prayers, kind things you did for me. My back surgery was a great success. I'm so thankful. That's from Sister Judy Keith, and I believe she's in service, able to be back with us tonight. Yes, Sister Judy. God bless you. Glad you're back. Appreciate what the Lord's done for you. Just an announcement. There's a book in the library. It's Brother Nathan, Kutz's testimony. And is that your son, Brother Amos? So there's a book in there with his testimony. Let's stand if we can. Brother Terry comes and takes these needs to the Lord tonight. Thank you, Brother. I'm sorry.
Thank you. So good to be back in church, isn't it?
Amen.
I was three services. I was out. I was up in New Jersey, visited my son and his wife and children. And, of course, on the Sunday morning, I think you should honor the resurrection. So we went to a denominational church. Actually, it was a kind of a mega independent church. The pastor was a former Assembly of God. Preached a good sermon. But, friends, you just don't realize what we have. You just don't. Sometimes it gets common, you know. But you just don't realize what a privilege we have been given. Just to go to one of those churches just one time and just see what used to be like, what we've come out of. We ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Amen. Let's give God praise and let's Yeah, this is praise the Lord. I know what we have, but I'm more thankful than I've ever been. Let's bow our hands. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful to be back in the house of God. Lord, God's only provided place of worship. We're so thankful, dear Jesus, that you have a provided place around the world. We invite your presence to come in and meet with us, Lord, tonight. And Father, we would just ask, Lord, that you would let the north winds blow. Just reframe the south wind and let the north winds blow. And Father, the precious spikenard and different ointments and so forth, Lord, that may we just have the right perfume for you, Lord, and the love and the hope and the faith, Lord, and may we truly have a pure heart. These things, Lord, that we desire, that we might come to full maturity of a matured son and daughter of God. We're so thankful that you give us opportunity to be back in your house. Traveler Mercies on the road, different people going here and there. We're thankful. We're thankful, Lord, for the ministry that you've placed here, the building we have, the deacons, the trustees, all that you have given us, Lord, our brothers and sisters in Christ of like precious faith. We have so much to thank you for. So we just want to say thank you, Lord God, that you called us. Thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for election. Thank you for predestination. Thank you for your wonderful grace day by day. Now, these requests that I hold in my hand, you know each one. I ask that you would undertake in the behalf of each one. There's many sick, many, I'm sure, requests that were not turned in. Afflicted, different things, unsaved loved ones. People have desires on their heart for their family to get saved. Children outside the ark of safety. Maybe an elderly mother or father. Different needs, Lord. We just ask that you would undertake, brood over those that are outside the ark of safety. We're living, we know, Lord, in the very closing hours of time. Excuse me, but Lord, but we know that all that the Father has given me will come to me. But Lord, but whosoever will, John 3:16, help us to do our part to spread the light, Lord, to get the gospel out. Pray for, Lord, the abominations done in the city. Lord, the different things that we can do, help us to do our part. Anoint our brother to speak tonight. Let him bring forth the spiritual food in due season. When we leave this building, we say, it's been so good to be back in the house of God. Give us another portion of thy manna tonight, Lord. May we just dip our hands into that golden omer and get another fresh portion of that manna. And feed us, Lord, tonight. Have need of, and we'll say it's been good to be in the house of God. Lord, if you'll meet with us, and I believe that you will, you're here. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, empty and broken, I came back to him. The soul unworthy, sin, despair, he started over again, and I'm blessed today. He didn't throw the clay away. Over and over, he
asked me to stay, but when I stumble and I fall and my vessel breaks, He just picks up all the broken pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away.
I did forget to mention a couple requests tonight. If the brothers would like to come and lift the offering this evening. But when I talked to Brother Louie, he's still sick. Glenda's really sick, so a lot of sickness there. And also Blair and Amy have some friends, and their son was injured really bad in a skiing accident. And they've called and requested prayer. So remember that when Brother Donnie comes out and prays, we can remember those requests. I apologize for forgetting those. We do have a visitor that we'd like to welcome tonight. It's Brother Micah Kimbrough. Is that you, brother, in the back there? So welcome. Pastor is Brother Charles Anderson from Columbia, South Carolina. So glad to have you in the service. You're sure welcome tonight. And Brother John Linichek and Sister Anna Lynch both have songs for us tonight. So if they want to come on and make their way to the platform. Brother John, you can sing first, and then Sister Anna when he gets finished. And let's sing Daystar in F. Let's start with that chorus. We'll start the first verse.
Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma be share and show me how to grow with beauty in God's sight. Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you'll open up the door. Let your right. not shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
Let's sing this verse.
Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit. They're groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. When I see you standing near me, shining with compassion in your eyes, your eyes, Lord, I pray, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
Let's sing this from our hearts. Help me sing that chorus.
Chuck asked him to forgive me for taking this song from him. He said, well, you ain't taking it from me. He does such a good job on it, but it's been on my heart, so I want to sing it for the glory of God. Pray it's a blessing to you.
I wasn't there by the shores of Galilee when Jesus touched those blinded eyes and made them see. And though I did not see the empty tomb that day, I still believe, for I know what Jesus did for me. And I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I believe there is healing in the touch of his hand. But the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Now I have seen the lowest sin-sick soul have life anew and be made pure, pure and whole. And I have felt him loose the chains of sin and set my spirit free. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. And I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I believe there is healing in the touch of his hand. But the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Oh, and I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I believe there is healing in the touch of his hand. But the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Oh, but the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Oh, yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Children alone.
appreciate those songs tonight. Let's stand as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Brother Daniel Nunley's got a real nice card here. I'll put it up out in the fellowship hall. He just wants to thank everybody and Brother Donnie for their kind words and the prayers of everybody through the loss of his twin brother there. But I'll put that up there for everybody to look at. But let's sing, I Want What You Want.
Well, I want what you want for me, dear Lord. Whatever, wherever it may be, 'cause I know that you know what's best, my Lord.
Sing the chorus together again.
And I want what you want for me. Wherever it may lead. Yes, Lord. I know this. He knows what's best. Oh, yes, you do, Lord. I want what you want for me. Lord, I want what you want for me. Praise the Lord. Turn to the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12, and let's see if we can find out a little bit of what he wants. Amen. Now, you all said you wanted what he wanted, right? Amen. Come on now. Amen. What happened to all them singing voices? Let's see hands to back the voices. All right. Let's read about what he wants out of us. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. I want to speak to you tonight on let the spices flow. Let the spices flow. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor, spikenard. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Now if the Lord Jesus is saying this, then we know he does not fabricate. He does not make up things. He doesn't tell lies. So if he's saying this, then this is going to be in somebody. And it's not going to be now in a mystical form. That is to where that he's the only one that can see it and there'll never be anything that'll show others. If it's going to be there, it's going to come out. You agree with that? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your precious word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace and mercy that's given to us. We ask you tonight, Lord, that you would help us. May the Spirit of God come and anoint us that we can receive from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Glad you may be seated. Glad to have Brother Andrew Glover with us visiting tonight. Bless you, Betty. Now let's see her response to these great things in verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden. Now, actually in the Hebrew it is for the north wind to come
and the south wind to retire. So awake, O north wind, come, retire, thou south. Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. So if every Christian is going to be this type of a person, it must be a place to where the Lord Jesus will be able to feast on what he finds in the garden of this individual. Now, to be able to feast means you've got to have something that's compatible or edible for the one seeking to eat something. Now, truly, books, tapes, cars, houses, lands. If you're a termite, houses is okay. You can eat the two before us. If you're fire, you could eat plastic. If you're, you know, lots of other things, you can eat all kinds of things. But since God is not a bug, and God is not something that would want cankering or something like that, what would God want if he wants to eat from the life of his people? Yes. Now, if she's going to be able to produce pleasant fruits and give unto her husband, and he also will eat, that it must be something that will be compatible to the divine nature of God. You'll agree with that. Now here the bride, as we looked at it last week, that we looked at faith, love, faith, hope, and a pure heart. These are just a few of the spices that is in the bride. But believe me, there's many, many more. Now we'd like to, by God's help tonight, be able to look in and see what it is that God actually sees when he is identifying a believer and saying, you've got all these fragrances, you've got calamus and cinnamon, saffron, and you've got spikenard, and you've got all these great things inside of you. And then he comes and identifies what they are, and then she in turn, still feeling overwhelmed by what he has said, she asks for the north wind. Now, as we looked at it last week, that the south wind is the wind of storms. Now, we're talking about in the setting of Jerusalem. The south wind was the wind of heat. The south wind was the wind of, in parallel, would be the wind of tribulation and trial and testing. But the north wind then is the wind that will turn what is going on and be able to blow away the trouble, blow away the storms, blow away the tribulation, and be able to take the fragrance or the product of what that trial has brought you through and blow it in a northerly direction toward the nose of your king. Now, we know that to have these things inside of us is absolutely wonderful, but it doesn't do any good unless they are distilled or diffused. In other words, they can be in the heart of an individual, and they could lay there so close with no wind blowing, no one being around you, and no one would be able to really sense or know or smell that all these things are there. So God, in his wisdom, allows us to go through all kinds of different things. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes it's financial. And the south winds will begin to blow on our lives, and my, they try us, and it seems like we reach the brink to where we can't take it no more. And all of a sudden, the wind will change. And then the Spirit of God will begin to blow out of that trial the thing that the trial was purposed for. Now, people out here in the world, they have financial trouble, they have family trouble, they have all kinds of troubles, and many of their troubles are very similar to the troubles of a child of God. But their troubles are not with a purpose. They are not with a divine order. But the trial that a child of God goes through under divine providence and a divine order is always has a purpose behind it that will benefit the child of God once they come on the other side. So if you can imagine it this way, that we have all of these things in us by inherent nature, or the virtue of Him who gave us a new birth. Now, it lays us in seed form, so all of it is there. Love, forgiveness, mercy, kindness, tenderness, brotherly kindness, godliness, mercy, all of these things is there in a child of God in seed form. But they're not full in the fruition of them until they begin to grow. And the growing pains of God's grace is what will bring these great things out of a Christian. Now, in that time, it can be so hard and so difficult. And God doesn't always tell you, look, I'm making you a better person. I'm making you a stronger person. I'm making you a more fruitful person. But He expects us to grow up, to read our Bible, and to know that when we're going through these things, we're not out of the will of God. He expects us to be mature. Can you say amen to that? So whenever we're going through these things and we search our hearts and our lives and we don't find anywhere to where that we've disobeyed God, so we realize we're not being punished, then it is a trial of His love and His favor. And when you are tested, you have found favor in the eyes of God. Some of y'all ought to shout at the pews down about right now, but you realize it's very hard for us to accept that principle of God's divine favor. That yet it is favor nonetheless. Now once in, so these virtues that are in a child of God, they are graces, if you wish to call them that. They are graces, or they are virtues, or they are characteristics of the divine nature that every truly born again child of God has. Not those that are Christians now, but those that are truly born again. So the variables of God's nature could not be described just by one thing. As we look at 1 Corinthians 13, maybe next week, that what love really is. Love is true love. Agape love is so broad, and the spectrum that it covers has so much in it that you cannot define it by one word. It's like God. Now you might say, well, God is love. Well, that's one thing that God is, but God is light, and God is power, and God is forgiveness. There's so many things that God is. So it's the same way with a child of God. A child of God is not just a Christian, but they are so much more, and this is what God sees inside His bride, and it overwhelms Him when He sees what His own power has done, because He knows it's totally impossible for us to be able to produce these things on our own. That's right. Now let's look at another virtue or grace that is in the Holy Ghost filled child of God. It is the virtue or the nature of patience. Jesus says this in Luke 21:19. In your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience possess, which is buy, purchase, get, obtain, or marry a wife. In your patience possess ye your soul. Now your Jesus makes it sound as if though, through the attribute of divine patience, that a person is actually buying their own soul. In your patience possess, or acquire, or buy a wife, marry a wife, in your patience, now not in your gifts, not in your depths, not in your understanding, not in your shouting and rejoicing, all that is good, and come on now, all that is good and wonderful, but in your patience is actually when you show you own your own soul. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's billions of people who live on the face of the earth today that do not own their own soul. Satan is not my master. I own my soul. Deity owns me. Come on now. I'm not talking about Donnie as a flesh man. I'm talking about the seed of God in me owns my soul. Now, through the attribute then of patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And we know that through this great virtue, and how now will the south wind blow in order for the fragrance of patience to be able to come through the chambers of the north wind? How will the south wind act upon that to make the north wind blow? Well, you can just figure in your own mind. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that if you're going to have the virtue of patience, you must really be tried and you must be tested. So there's going to be things and times that you're going to believe God for certain promises in His word. It ain't going to happen when you think it should. You're going to be tried with brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, maybe the church you go to, the people you work with, and seem like so many things are going to try your patience. nations. And there will be the south wind that will be allowed to blow upon your finances or blow upon your health or blow upon the church or your family or something you're going through. But just be patient now, for when patience will have her perfect work, then the north wind will come and change, and it will blow the fragrance of your worked patience into the presence of your bridegroom. And then when he smells that, he will know you were not born with that. He knows that you could not do this of your own. So it is what? A manifestation of the magnitude of God's grace that has allowed you. Maybe some of you, your fuse was about that long before you got saved. And then it began to grow and grow and grow. My goodness, some of you got a fuse that long. But you know what? You're not done yet, because it needs to be this long. So God, he allows us to grow and the south wind to blow, but he knows when to give us a break, because he knows as human beings, enough of that south wind, we're going to drag it out to 45s. Bang, bang, bang. But God knows we can't take it but just for so long. And then he'll send the wind change, and the north wind will come. Oh my. And the north wind begins to blow the cool breezes of fellowship in the presence of God. And you get a little breezer. Praise God. The flu's gone. Oh, this is gone and that's gone. Man alive. We made it, didn't we? Praise God. But you got enough sense to know it's probably going to come back again. But a real child of God wants this, don't we? I want what you want, you said. And this is what Jesus wants. He does not want to come near his bride, and the bride has the fragrance on, and he smells bitterness and envy and strife. You imagine what a stench that is in the nose of the Lord Jesus, the bitterness from a Christian. So what's the words of Jesus now? In your patience, possess ye your souls. Romans 8:25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So if we hope for that which we see not, a change in your wife, a change in your husband, a change in your children, a change in your finances. You're hoping for that which you don't see, but with patience you will wait for it. Well, now, wait a minute, Brother Donnie, what about faith? Faith is what reaches out to claim the promise, and faith and patience will couple together, but yet you still need patience. You can have great faith, but if you don't have patience, it still won't come to pass. Faith is wonderful, but you got to have patience. Notice in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient, oh my, in tribulation. Help me, Jesus. I said, help me, Jesus. Patient in tribulation. Now, this is what God wants to smell out of a life that is so filled with the Holy Ghost that we can be patient in tribulation. Now, when the south wind blows, sometimes she blows really, really hard. And it can make things so dry and so sticky. It can become sticky at the home, sticky on the job, sticky at church, everywhere you go. People are cactuses everywhere. Don't do that. Don't do that. You got my pocket spot. Quit this, that, and the other. You understand what it is? The south wind's drying everybody out. But you need a little rain from the Holy Ghost to come give you a little moisture. Take the stickiness out of your life. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Look at this word, patient. It means to endure, suffer, to preserve. Under misfortunes and trials, to hold fast one's faith in Christ. Now look how patient will couple up with the virtue of faith. Faith reaches out, believes God. Oh my, what a great thing that it is. But you also must have patience that are joined together with faith in order to be able to encourage faith. Faith encourages patience, and patience encourages faith. Now notice he said this meaning here is under misfortunes and trials to hold fast to one's faith in Christ. Bear bravely and calmly ill treatments. Oh my. Well, I'm not deep tonight, am I? Some of y'all was thinking it was going to be really, really deep tonight. Well, I don't know. In one sense, when you think about it, I'm as deep as you can go in a human being. That's the soul. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Amen. continuing instant in prayer. How in the world can a person be instant in prayer? Friends, I've been doing this for years. I hope God will help you get through to this to understand you do not have to be in your prayer closet to pray. You do not have to be down on your knees to pray or be in church. You can be instant in prayer. Oh my goodness, the grocery store thought they were selling. They come up with instant potatoes and instant coffee and instant beer. God come up with instant stuff before the grocery store ever did. And the saint of God knows how to be instant. This is why we need to live right every day, every hour of the day. You never know when somebody's going to call you and going to need prayer. Watch in Colossians chapter 1 verse 11. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Oh my. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble minded. So feel sorry for me occasionally. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Be patient toward not just those you like. Not just your little circle of friends or those who are your buddy. But be patient. Oh, how in the world, Brother Donnie, can we be patient toward the sinner? Because they are sinners. And at one time you was out there, and if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd still be out there. Oh my. But you know, if you're going to be patient toward all men, you're going to be tried toward all men. Hebrews 6:12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who are through faith and patience inherit the promises. Oh, can you imagine the Lord Jesus in the life of a believer? They've just come through one of the greatest trials of their life. Maybe finances, health, maybe a divorce, maybe a child doing something terrible. And somehow by God's grace, they've held on. They've held on. Now that don't mean that they didn't fluctuate a little bit during the midst of the trial. It don't mean that they didn't wobble a little bit on the way. I'm talking about the end result though. When the end result was done. You see, God don't even look at our wobblings along the way. It's the end result of the trial. You understand? Oh, glory, I'm so glad. I'm so glad when I wobbled along the way, God will say, well, you're out. That's the end of it. Go back to the front of the line. But he's waiting till the end of the trial and see how I've done. And if I've done good, praise God, I may not have to pass that again. Praise the Lord. Then we come out on the other side of that, and the end result of the whole consensus of the whole trial was, on one day you got down, but there's five more days you stayed up. And the end of that trial, you was patient. You was believing God, and you said, God, I'll come through it. Then all of a sudden, the north wind comes in. And blows that trial away, and the force of the south wind, it retires. And all of a sudden, here comes the Lord God walking in the garden in the wind of the day. And here you are, and you're still mellow after this trial. You're still mellow after this trial, like the morning mist on a morning glory, or, you know, the flowers, and you walk out. I love to be out that time of the day myself. You love to be out there when it's there, and you just smell it when it comes. You're just fresh out from underneath that, and you're sweet, and you're pleasant. And here comes the bridegroom, and he says, I want to have fellowship with you. And you say, oh, north wind, come. I feel wore out. I feel exhausted from this trial. North wind, come and blow. It starts out. Oh, and it gets around your patience. And it works through the frankincense and your myrrh and your aloe and your cinnamon and your calamus. And the wind blows through the leaves. And Jesus is on the other side. Oh, my love. Oh, my perfumed sweetheart. Oh, my. You imagine Jesus wanted to take a woman that smells like a polecat? You stink. you're bitter. My, you're mean. Oh, you smell like, I don't know what. You're contrite. Stink. Get away from me. Go back to church and take a bath. Oh, hallelujah. But can you imagine a real garden? You individuals, you are this garden. But can you imagine when that wind comes through and Jesus is not making this up? This is not a figment of his imagination. He smells divine fruit of your patience. Oh, wonderful. Oh, faith. I love that smell. Long suffering. Gentleness. Hallelujah. And then you say, come, Lord Jesus, eat of your pleasant fruits. Because if there's anything good that comes out of my life, it's you, Lord. It's not me. I could never produce this, Lord. There's no way I could ever do it. So come and eat, Lord Jesus. Let's look at another one. Long suffering, which goes right with patience, of course. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. You know, the word long-suffering doesn't really even need too much of a theological explanation to it. Look at it and you can understand the meaning yourself. It means to suffer long. Now I'll tell you one thing. You said that awful easy. And you smile, some of you, and you nodded your little tiny head. But it's a lot harder to do. To suffer long. Look what it means. To suffer long. When people don't like you, when people run you down, when people at the church get on you, or your children, or your husband, or your wife, to have the ability to long suffer for a boss that's full of the devil, and hates you worse than the devil himself, and picks on you, and let all kinds of other people get by with all kinds of things, but can't stand you, you ought to rejoice. It's that God in your life that the devil in his life hates. That's right. But to be able to have long suffering, how in the world are you ever going to do it? I'll tell you, friends, it'll take the south wind blowing on our lives. Oh my. It'd be nice if we could go down to Walgreens and order all these things up. You know, give me $50 worth. I'll put it on the MasterCard. Give me $50 of each one of these verses. It'd be so easy to buy it. But that's not the way the Lord God works. You don't buy these things. You don't get them out of your own goodness. But they are molded. They are shaped. They are made in the lives of individuals, and every one of these are a miracle in their own self. Oh, hallelujah. Now let's look at another one here. Brotherly kindness. 2 Peter 1:5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. This one again is self-explanatory. It's how we love our brothers. You see, those who think they are so in love with God, but can't stand church people, they are terribly deceived. If you can't love your brother who you do see, how can you love God whom you've not seen? But it's not God that tries me. It's not God that gets on my nerves. Uh-oh. Let's be honest now. It ain't God that meets you out there in the foyer, or God that kind of rubs you the wrong way, always digging around on you and just say that one little thing that aggravates the far out of you. You know, it's that brother you go to church with, or that sister. Don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. It's that one person that might seem to really get you. It ain't that brother that y'all are chummy and you all getting along 99.999999% of the time. It's that brother that, boy, you and him ain't hardly got 10% in agreement. You believe there's a God and you believe there's a heaven and a hell. You're not sure if he's going to heaven or not, but you hope that he does. But you just pray he'll get out of your way. You wish he'd have never come to Happy Valley. This was your church, but he moved here and spoilt everything for you. Brotherly kindness. So you do know how this virtue is tried, don't you? I just mentioned it. Isn't it amazing, though, we're able to see a devil in the form of, say, TB, or bronchitis, or flu, or so. Oh, that devil! But it's amazing also that we, in turn, when a brother or a sister might get something between us and them, if we're not careful, we want to labor their soul, the devil. Instead of realizing that individual is only an instrument by which Satan is using. Come on. To try to discourage you or cause problems between you and them or cause a bad feeling to go in the church. That's the truth, saints. And you realize that he has all of these human instruments that he can use upon the face of the earth. And it's up to us to be able to endure with our brothers and sisters and suffer long with them and have patience with them and be able to express brotherly kindness to those that really don't express it back to you. Amen, Brother Donnie. Amen. Preach, Brother Donnie. Amen. I'm with you, Brother Donnie. I wonder sometimes if Jesus don't stand just out on the outside of the covered porch there. And he'll wait till you go by that one brother or sister that never does speak to you. And never does treat you nice. Or if they do, they're always digging you. I've always got something to say. Just dig at you. You know what I'm talking about. I got folks that do me that way. It's never, boy, it's good to see you. I never get to see you. I never get to shake your hand. It's never, hello, how are you? It's so good to see you. It's always the negative. It's always, I never get no phone calls from you. I never get to see you. I'm thinking, is it any wonder? You think I want to be around you, old persimmon face? Hallelujah. But I wonder if Jesus don't wait on the outside of that and see what kind of attitude you're going. Well, brother, God bless you. I love you. It's a good service tonight, wasn't it? Love you anyhow. But you imagine Jesus waiting around on the outside of the corner of the building right before you get in your car and said, you did wonderful. That's exactly the way I would have treated him. Made you feel sad in your heart, didn't it? Because he did that. But you didn't develop an attitude. You smiled at him and you did it from your heart. Oh, I love that smell. Could I have just a little whiff of that before you go? Oh. Ain't you the same guy that still got the scars on your hands when you used to get in fist fights when you was a teenager? That if people would do you that way in sin, ain't you the same guy that used to sit on the bar and you just sitting there waiting for somebody to say something so you could wallop them and knock them off our backwards? And then you wonder why he rejoices when he sees what's inside of your soul. Oh, hallelujah to God. When there ain't no devil in hell that could ever produce that. There ain't no preacher that could ever produce it. There ain't no church that could ever produce it. Only the Lord God of heaven could produce that in our souls. No wonder he rejoices at what he sees in our lives. Oh my. Oh, let's look at another one. I can smell it already. Let me just pull the wrapper off of the top of it. This precious container. Let me remove the lid. Oh, don't y'all smell that? Whew. It called the spice of peace. Matthew chapter 5 verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Wow. Peacemakers. Have you ever found any scripture the Bible ever said blessed are the troublemakers? You know why you ain't found it? Because there ain't none. How could Jesus bless a troublemaker? Troublemakers lack peace within themselves. Now watch, this is of course what we call the Beatitudes, but I want you to notice how the Lord Jesus, now focus, now remember he's laying forth and setting forth the oncoming nature, which is going to come a few years later by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's no way the apostles can have this right now. There's no way any other mortal on the face of the earth other than the Lord Jesus can be able to attain to these Beatitudes that he's saying. It's beyond their reach. But he's setting it forth and sowing the seed, knowing that the north wind, the water of the Holy Ghost will come and bring it forth in future generations. So he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Amen. Why would you be called a child of God if you're a peacemaker? Well, what would a troublemaker be called then? Whose child would they be? Glory. Now these ain't my words now, these are the words of Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. How then could we ever make peace? What do you make it with? Now you still should know how to make biscuits and pancakes and eggs and sandwiches and cakes and all, but you got to know what to make it with, right? If you're going to make a chocolate cake, you've got to know the ingredients. If you're going to make a pan of biscuits or whatever more, you've got to know the ingredients. Well, how are we going to make peace? Where am I going to get the ingredients? Comes from the contents of a new birth. Now, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And I'll tell you, friend, every family, every church, every nation, everywhere you look, there's always troublemakers. God uses peacemakers, the devil uses troublemakers. Well, the longer I go, the quieter you get. Oh, north wind, come and help me out now. Oh my. Now can you imagine the Lord Jesus of all things saying, he didn't say, blessed are the deep, blessed are those who have great understanding, for they shall be called the children of God, but blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. Romans chapter 5 verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at this word peace, what it means here. Rest. Quietness, exemption from the rage and havoc of war. Now, a person who's at peace with God is free from the rage of war within themselves. Not free from it at here, Brother Jim. Not free from it in the church, in the world, in your home. But you are free from it within your soul. Boy, Lord Jesus, help us. Exemption from the rage and havoc of war. Harmony, security, safety, prosperity, and felicity. Of Christianity, it is the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. But you understand, why is it then that some people are never able to find it? And they go from one church and there's trouble there, and they leave that church and then they go over here and there's, and they cannot figure it out. That's taking old devil. He followed me from that church over to that church, and then I went to this church. I've been to 37 message churches, and everywhere I went, that old devil followed me around. He didn't follow you around. He was in you. You're the very source of it. Woo!
But you know what? A peacemaker, they can move right in the middle of a church that's tore all to pieces. And they will make hallelujah. Amen. You let a girl marry into a family and she's a real peacemaker. That girl can express her attributes in that family and help change that family and turn it around. Same way with a boy. Same way with every one of you as children of God, even at your work. Blessed are the peacemakers. Those of you who delight in making trouble, you need the Holy Ghost. It ain't complicated, it ain't hard to understand. You cannot have the Holy Ghost and love to make trouble. If you love to get on Facebook and make trouble, you love to make trouble in home or in a church, you cannot have the Holy Ghost. That's contrary to the attribute of the Holy Ghost. He's a peacemaker. So I wonder how a peacemaker is tried. How does a south wind blow on a peacemaker? More than likely it'll use a troublemaker. Peacemakers generally don't try one another. They build together for the same purpose. But a troublemaker is what tries a peacemaker. And whether or not you understand it, it's the same way on the other way around. A peacemaker aggravates a troublemaker. They just don't like you. They just don't like. They don't understand why in the world. You can just go along and live a quiet, peaceable, restful life. You don't like everything that goes on in church, but you just know that's the way it is in life. But a troublemaker's got to complain. They got to gripe. They got to grumble. I'll tell you one thing. I checked the sound tonight. It was 1.5 decibels higher than it was Wednesday night. It made me so mad I couldn't even get nothing out of service. Troublemaker. So-and-so got my parking spot. I'll tell you what. It was so hot. Hot in there, I was burning up. I understand that. Every time I come to church, for whatever reason, I burn up. Whether it's cold outside or whatever. But you know what, friends? For a peacemaker, they're not looking for faults and failures and mistakes. They're looking for the recipe to make peace. And they have peace within themselves. I don't need you to give me peace. I don't need the message people to give me peace. I have peace by the Holy Ghost. And I am a peacemaker. Glory! Hallelujah! Can you imagine in your home and your family and your church on the job when you ought to be all tore up? You ought to just be so, oh, a basket case. But some wind changes and it comes around. You've just come through dealing with that troublemaker at church. What makes it tough is if it's your wife. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Or your husband. Or your in-laws, which might be outlaws. Oh my. And the wind changes in your direction. And all of a sudden the fragrance of peace. Oh, can you imagine how the Prince of Peace feels when the Queen of Peace emanates from her soul peace? Can't you see why people can't do this without the Holy Ghost? Christians cannot do this. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It always gets me when folks think they're so deep and never have no peace in their soul. That's opposite to Scripture. If your deep so-called things don't bring you peace, I'd trade them in. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In a world that is tore all to pieces. Years ago, friends, you know, maybe go 2, 3, 4, 5 years, 10 years before any major thing would happen in the world. In my own lifetime, I've seen it go from years apart to months apart. And then a year apart, and then 6 months apart. Now you can't hardly make it 6 seconds apart. You got a smartphone, and you got Fox News Update or CNN or whoever updates you. It's bam, 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 bam. This going on, that going on. So-and-so shot so-and-so. Putin doing this and Putin doing that and somebody else doing something else. Why? It's our world is upside down. And they're crying peace and safety, but we know sudden destruction is going to come upon them. But what's a miracle? In the midst of the worst age that's ever been on the earth, the people of God have peace in their soul. Why? Our peace don't come from politics. Our peace don't come from the White House. Our peace comes from the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost ain't nervous. The Holy Ghost ain't torn up. Glory. Amen. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. Same English word, but a different Greek word. Live peaceably, be at peace, to make peace, cultivate, or keep peace. Amen. So a peacemaker cultivates, cultivate. Now isn't that a word that you use for gardening? So a peacemaker learns how to cultivate peace. And if you find there's certain things that irritate your wife or husband or whatever more, you're not cultivating that by doing it and saying it. You're cultivating animosity and strife or maybe a skillet upside of your head. Depends on how much patience she's got, I guess. But a real child of God wants to cultivate peace. Why? Their soul, Brother Jim, loves peace. I hate trouble. Anybody here with me? I absolutely hate trouble. I just hate that sort of thing. It's not in my makeup. I know some of y'all don't think that because you don't know me. You think I love trouble. Ain't hardly a message preacher in more trouble I get in and out of all the time. But you think I love it. I don't love it. I hate trouble. I hate all kinds of stuff like that. My, if it'd be left up to me, I'd live on this earth and hardly nobody'd ever know my name. I'd live a quiet, peaceable life. Nobody'd ever know me. I'd just do a little something for God. I love peace. But I'm glad even though my call may put me in a controversial position, I can have peace in the time of trouble. I can have peace in my soul when there is none out here. Oh. My, oh Lord Jesus. So since the bride lives between the contrasts of the north and the south pole, the contrasts of the north and the south wind, what is the contrast of peace? War. Trouble. So you know how your peace is going to be tried. It's going to be tried by trouble and war. And the very purpose of it is to get you to act disobedient to the word. Lose your temper. Say something you shouldn't say. So that you'll be a troublemaker instead of a peacemaker. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you are peacemakers? How many of your husbands are peacemakers in your home? Your wives are peacemakers. How many of you folks that attend this church are peacemakers or troublemakers? Some of you, since I've been here, you've just been out of one deal into another. You go through cycles. 3 months to 6 months to 9 months, some of each a year, year and a half to 2 years. But I'll see it in your life over and over and over again. You're in and out of one thing and another. You know why? There's something missing in this attribute. I ain't saying you ain't saved. I ain't saying you ain't got the Holy Ghost. But I'm saying you need to set this before you and cultivate peace. And a lot of times keep that fat mouth of yours shut. And then I wonder why folks don't love me. It's a mystery to me. Now watch. Let's look at one more before we go. Let's look at godliness, which we know means to be like God. So when you were born, you were a hog. You love the manure piles of the world. Filth. Drinking, smoking, running around. Or worse than that, a Baptist in a pew. Or worse than that, a message person unborn again in a pew. You're a pig by nature. You love filth. You love the things of the world. I mean, you love it. The wilder it could be, some of you, that's more. It's just down your alley. Godliness? No way. Church, bunch of devils and hypocrites. I don't want nothing to do with it. But there's a little seed down on the inside. You didn't know it, but you was going to come to it. Praise God. Can you imagine then when the Lord Jesus looks at the members of His body and sees godliness? Godliness, which means to be like God. When they used to sit and drink and smoke and lie and lust and run around and hated people and done all kinds of things. And He turns and looks at them and the north wind blows the fragrance back in Him. And He said, that smells like me. Don't you see what these are? It's Himself in feminine designation. As I told you before, you can take fragrance at the mall or TJ Maxx or wherever you go, and they'll have them little perfume cards there, and you spray that on them little cards. When you put it on your flesh, it might smell a little different from one woman to another. Why? The composition of her chemistry, of her body. So Jesus takes all these great attributes and sprays them on the bride. And then whenever the north wind blows, it's a Donnie Reagan version of Chanel number 7. Or it's a Jack Yawns version, or it's an Amos Cutts. You understand what I'm saying? It comes back with your own little flavor. Oh, my. We're not all robots. We're not mimics, and we're not clones one of another. But He sprays it on you, and by your own makeup and the chemistry that He designates to you. But it comes back with just a little bit different flavor than Brother Branham had on him. A little bit different flavor. It's not corrupt now, but it is His own fragrance coming through that touch of humanity. Oh, turn your eyes from me. One of your eyes has overcome me. One of the links of the chain around your neck has so moved me. Paul is teaching him in 1 Timothy 2:2 about prayer. Acknowledging for kings and for all that are in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. I thought Jesus was our Savior. Which one's our Savior, God or Jesus? Have you got two Saviors? Well, which one's your Savior? Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 4:7, but refuse profane and all wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Chapter 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Ty Titus 1:1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us into glory and virtue. Let's take one more and we'll close. Thankful. Thankful. Believe it or not, this is a very rare spice. She is a spice that is made up multifaceted in that she can burst herself forth in many different channels of being thankful. Watch this in Psalms 100 verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him and bless his name. You realize how hard it is for you to stay down as long as you're thanking God? But you know when you get down and Satan can stop you from thanking God, you'll get lower and lower and lower. And he'll get you to where you'll feel like you ain't got nothing to thank God for, and he is a liar. I don't care if you ain't got two nickels to rub together tonight. If you have a lie, you ain't got enough money to buy yourself a hamburger at your church. If you see this light and you're born of the Spirit of God, you've got enough to be thankful for to last you to eternity. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Watch Ephesians 5:19. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, speaking to yourselves. Some of you wonder why you're down all the time. You're focusing on too much negative stuff. Well, my kids are doing this and my husband doing that and the bills ain't this, that, other. Paul didn't say speak to yourselves about your Social Security. Don't speak to yourselves about your insurance bill, but speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. Brother Doug, I can't carry a tune in the Lord bucket. That's all right. Your heart don't know the difference. He'll tell you you're doing good. Why? Because it encourages your heart whether you're on key or not. Oh, my. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. Do you folks do this? Do you speak to yourself in psalms? The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my shepherd. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is on my side. Do you speak to yourself in psalms and hymns? Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Giving thanks always. Always. Right. Yes, sir. Bing, 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 bing. I'll bleep those next words out. For all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks always. Whew. Now remember, she's multifaceted. So you give thanks to God. We can turn around and give thanks for the trials we go through. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 2, Paul said, we give thanks to God always for you all. Do your wives thank God for your husbands? Do your husbands thank God for your wives? Do you thank God for good children that love the Lord and want to come to church with you? Do you thank God for good deacons and trustees and pastors and associates and all the different things, a good job, a place to lay down at night? Do you thank God for that bed you've got? Well, you don't have to live out. You're under a bridge somewhere, some homeless shelter. Remember, friend, part of the spirit in the last days is people are not going to be thankful. Oh my. Again, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 3:9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God. So he didn't just thank God for Christ. Didn't just thank God for the message and thank God. But he's thanking God for the people that would pray for him. Thanking God for the people that believed. Oh, thank the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Now here he doesn't say for everything, but in everything. In sickness, give thanks. He's your healer. In in the time of want, give thanks. He's my God. This shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. In everything, give thanks. You'd be surprised how much better it'd make everything go. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I love the meaning of this word. Exceed, to exceed a fixed number of measure, to be left over and above a certain number or measure, a thing which comes in abundance, to furnish one richly so that he has an abundance. Not just, okay, God, you paid me a lot, but thank you for that, thank you for that, thank you for that. Lord, now, Lord, are we settled? Are we even? Are we okay? You done 3,332 things for me to die. I praise you 300,332 times. Are we even now, God? But a real child of God wants abundance. They want to abound in thanksgiving. Oh, Lord, you've been so good to me. You'd be surprised what that does for your children. Oh, hallelujah. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Colossians 3:5, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now let me close with this. 2 Timothy 3:1, a prophecy of the last days. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And the word perilous is violent, fierce, wild, difficult, grievous, hard to bear, and distressing. And we can say, amen. Perilous times, difficult to live. Oh my. Now what's amazing is when you look at this word perilous, it's the same Greek word that was used in Matthew chapter 8 verse 28 when Jesus went to the tomb and the man from the Gadarenes was there. And the Bible says that this man acted fierce. It's the exact same word that Paul uses for perilous. So you understand where that puts us? In a demonic graveyard. So instead of having one man like the tomb of the Gadarenes, we've got millions of them. They've got all these devils in them. They've got all this stuff that's going on inside of them. You are living in a demonic graveyard. But we're waiting for the master to step on board and call us out of here. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now watch in verse 2. He says, for men shall be lovers. This is a sermon within itself, but I'll try to condense it here. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Self-love will be one of the hallmarks of the last days. Now listen carefully so you don't misunderstand me. Self-love can lead to self-worship. If the Lord God pulled back the veil tonight of time and let us know how many human beings on the face of this earth actually worship themselves, it would probably be scary. If we knew how many worship themselves in this church, it'd probably be scary. Now listen, this is part of the prophecy of the last days. For men shall be lovers of their own self. So this self-love will then lead to this type of a boastful, ungrateful, rebellious attitude. Because they love their self so much. They are centered. Everything is around them. And you know as well as I do that it's not just lost people that are that way. Church people are that way. That's what causes a lot of the problems in church. Because people won't bend. They won't buy. They won't compromise when it comes to this brother. Well, no, no. It's my way or the highway. That's not the way a Christian is. But this is part of the prophecy of the last day. They will love themselves, he said, lovers of their own self. Now, God commands us to love him supremely. And then he commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves. God commands us to worship him and love him, to love our neighbors, and then there are things in life that God gives us and God wants us to use those things. But if we change that around and we become self-lovers and self-worshippers, then we will no longer love God right, and we sure won't love our neighbor right, and we will start using people and love things. Now watch, then we will change to where we don't love our neighbor as ourselves, but we will love our things as ourself. So then we will love things and use people when we should be using things and loving people. Well, I figured you'd get quiet about this time. You see, if someone loves and worships their self, the result will be self-centeredness. You watch a husband in a home that loves himself and worships himself. The wife, the kids, everybody in that home will have to bow down to him. Now, they may not physically bow down. You watch a pastor that worships himself, his gift, loves himself. You watch that church. You watch a man who feels like he's superior to his other brothers. He's more revelated. He understands more than everybody else. You understand what he's doing? He's loving himself. And he's worshiping his gift. He's worshiping his ability. And he will gather people around him who worship that gift. And he'll never smack it down and never say, hey, I'm not the only one. We're not the only ones here. We're just a little small pebble on the beach. He'll let it go. Why? He loves that worship. Oh, you're getting quiet on me. Now remember, what was it that Satan offered to Eve in the Garden of Eden in the beginning? He offered her, ye shall be as gods. Lovers of your own selves and worshipers of your own self. Do you understand why people spend hours and hours in front of the mirror? They're worshiping. Now, I realize you can have a bad hair day sometimes. And you have to take a while to get that thing. But if you are smitten to where you think you're just so beautiful and you're just so overwhelming and you got to spend 2 hours primping before church and pray 2 minutes, who's your God? Who are you worshiping? Woo. Paul said they changed and they went to worshiping the creature instead of the Creator. Oh my goodness. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, which means loving money, boasters, proud of what they are, constantly saying, how great a man I am, how great a businessman am I, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. You mean being unthankful fits in the category of blasphemy? Proud? Loving yourself? If you only saw the rottenness and the corruption of being unthankful. You see, a person who is unthankful, whether it's to God or their fellow man, the reason that many are is because they feel like they deserve it. But you see, a person who looks at it in the right way, they want to thank God for the food, for the air they breathe, for the water. Praise the Lord. Do you understand that being unthankful is something that we must fight against? I deal with a lot of unthankful people. I've helped folks around this world do lots of things. Some of them say thank you. Some of them don't. Some of the worst I've dealt with is message preachers. You buy them a computer, you pay their bills, you do this, that, and the other, and some of them, you never get a text, you never get an email, you never get a thank you, you never get nothing. You know why? They feel like I owe it to them. Do you realize that's prophecy of the last days? Do you think that fragrance is sweet in the smell of the beloved? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, feeling no obligation and no consequence to gratitude. It's amazing. You've dealt with people just like I have, that you loan people money, you do this, that, and the other for them. They're going to thank you? Absolutely not. You ought to count it an honor that they even asked to borrow it from you. Now, I have a problem with that. I said, I have a problem with that. Let me tell you, go higher than me. God has a problem with that. For us to feel like God owes us anything, we better get up this altar tonight and pray. For you to feel like this church owes you anything, these brothers and sisters owes you anything, where do you get that thinking at? I'll tell you where you get it. You get it from living in America. When we're living in a society that people want handouts. Give me this, give me that, give me free health care, give me free, give me. And then they come to church and they want the same thing. Let the church pay for this, the church pay for that, the church pay for that. Where's that come from in the Bible? So it makes a church, if we're not careful, that's so unthankful, but demanding, I want this and I want that. Let the church do this for me and that for me. Where does that come from? Prophecy that people would be unthankful. Can you imagine that fragrance blowing over in the presence of the Lord Jesus? He smells that attitude. You think I owe you grace? You think your pastor owes you to pay your bills for you? You think the church owes you to keep you up? You think people owe you this and what? What is wrong with your attitude? It stinks. Praise the Lord. Well, if I'm still the pastor here, we'll pick it up again in the morning. I'm thankful for a church to preach to. Oh, my Lord, children, many of us are raised this way. Many of you are raising your kids this way. You are raising them so unthankful and so lack of gratitude that instead of every time you go out somewhere, they think they ought to get a toy, they ought to get a gift, they ought to get that. Do you think you're doing the right thing for them children? They're going to come to a spot they will not appreciate one thing. I know how it is. Whenever we get a little money and do what we can do, we want to try to raise our children better than we was raised. And then they'll want to raise their children better than they were raised. And they'll keep on going. If we're not careful, we'll make nothing out of them but rebellious people that constantly expect something. And nothing has no value. No value. I stopped by the drive-thru the other day and picked up my granddaughter something to eat. I brought it home to them, and one didn't like this, and another didn't like that. I said, hey, girls, how do you think this makes Poppy feel? I went out of my way to bring this to you. I took my money and paid for it. And all I've heard is complaints. Brother Donnie, you didn't. I did. And I'm going to tell you the same thing. I didn't come through a drive-thru tonight. I've applied myself to bring this to you. I've studied long and hard. I appreciate our brothers coming and practicing, giving their time. Special songs, and they come and work through it and work through it and work through it. The special singers, don't you? But do you tell them? You appreciate Brother Jim in the library? Deacons, trustees, Sunday school teachers, Brother Michael, what about it, church? Or do we just take it for granted? Do we appreciate these brothers that sat back here and give their time of service, of operating the board and this, that, and the other? Or the only time they get your attention is when them squeals, something squeals and makes a noise. And then everybody cranks around and looks at them like a goose. But do you ever walk by and say, thank you. Thank you for being willing to set your every service so we can enjoy church. What does it make us? Ungrateful, unthankful, and we want more and more and more and more.
Amen. Amen. Well said.
Wonder if I started doing the way some of the folks who come to Happy Valley does, if I only started coming to church on Sunday morning. I wouldn't be here on Wednesday night, and I wouldn't be here on Saturday night, but I'd be a Sunday morning preacher. How long would you folks keep me? Not very long, really. Zara. I appreciate your honesty. Y'all demand faithfulness out of me. You demand that I study. You demand that I be persistent and faithful. Don't you? Am I unfair to demand the same from you? As sheep. Is God unfair when he wants to come down to his garden and he describes us? And then she says, come north wind, blow on me. And then the very next verse he says, I have come down into my garden. You see, it is the reverse with this bride to what it was with the first in the garden of Eden. She was enlightened to her senses. She was enlightened to who she was, but she was enlightened by the wrong one. Then she gave to her husband, and he did eat with her. But the enlightenment came through knowledge. But the bride must be enlightened to who she is and what she has, but by revelation. Then she will give to her husband, and he will eat with her. Glory to God. And she will invite him, not after she's been with the serpent. But she will give to him first. Come and eat of your pleasant fruits. Here's my goodness, my gentleness, my mercy, my kindness, my brotherly kindness, my charity, my long suffering, my patience. Eat. Eat. These are your fruits. They are from the tree of life, which is in the midst of my garden. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. I know we've laid a lot out before you tonight. I pray that God would help us. These spices will so abound in our lives. Lord Jesus, as I've sat studying these things, wondering and pondering in my own heart where I would be on your scale, I believe, as every person here does, that with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the soul, these things are in us. But we want them to abound. I don't want to just thank you the amount of times required. I want to abound with thanksgiving. I want to praise you when I don't feel like praising you. I want to love you and adore you. Lord Jesus, help me. I can see these things, Lord, in me, but I long to see them in a greater, more full way. And I realize what I'm asking. I'm asking for occurrence after occurrence of the blowing of the south wind. But after all, that's the reason I'm here. I wasn't born to live for the devil. I wasn't born to be a mossback church member. I was born to be a full-fledged, Holy Ghost-filled, 24-hour, full-time Son of God. I was born to torment hell. I was born to torment devils. I was born to torment a bunch of these backsliders just left the message. That's why they hate me so bad. I was born to give them nightmares. I'm glad to hang my armor in with men of God of this hour. Lord Jesus, may you help us, Father. It's such a battle. It's such a desire in our hearts that we have in trying to wage this war. For truly, we're in a great warfare against darkness. We know Brother Bam tells us, whoever's against that word, be against them, because they're your enemy. And yet, how do we stand against people and love them? It takes you to help us. We humans can't do that, because we'll develop an attitude as sure as the world, and then we're wrong in doing it. You can do it. You're able to do it. So if you can do it by your help, we can.
We can withstand the evil and yet love the people's souls. Help me, Lord, that I can be a garden, that these fragrances can flow out. May my garden be so full of rare, exotic plants. Praise God. Lord Jesus, when the north wind turns, may it blow towards your throne. May the throne room be filled with the fragrances from my Garden of Eden. Grant it, Lord Jesus. When it's all said and done, I will bow my head and say that I am an unprofitable servant. And if there's anything good to come out of me, it had to come through you. Like the little Shulamite girl in the Song of Solomon. Poor, wretched. But the rabbis say the king was on a journey up north one day. King Solomon. And she was out taking care of her little sheep. And he saw her. And he was smitten with her beauty. Hallelujah. So he beckons to her and calls her away from Shinar, from Amana, from the top of the mountains of Lebanon, and calls her up to the palace. No doubt she felt overwhelmed walking in the presence of the king. He began to give her spices and herbs and fragrances and clothes that she could never imagine in her wildest imagination. And she sat at the table of the king, she says in chapter 1, and my spikenard and my myrrh begin to come up in the presence of the king. That's the way we feel, Lord. We was out there in the fields and the mountaintops of Amana, in Shinar, in the holes of the leopards and the lions. But the king passed by one day, and he was smitten by our election. Glory. Hallelujah! He was smitten by our choosing, that he chosen us before the world began. And he pulled us up to his table. Oh, glory to God. And since then, he's been making us and molding us and shaping us. Sometimes it's through the fragrances. Sometimes it's 6 months through this oil. 6 months through that oil as Esther. But the finished product will be a queen by his side. Help us, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Father. How many would say with me tonight, arise, O north wind. Blow across the spices of my soul. If they've reached fruition, if they're mature enough at this stage to be able to blow them into the presence of the king. If not, shape them, mold them more. If they need another week or two or months, whatever more, until they reach fruition. Hallelujah. But if you're a child of God tonight, filled with the Holy Ghost, you may not totally be ripe on every one of these that I've spoke about. But you've got some in there. You've got some in there. You see, from time to time, he may come by and all he may want is just one particular fragrance. But as we use it through the anointment of the priest, through the art of the apothecary, they would take multiple herbs and ointments and mix it together. That was on certain occasions. But I'm so glad the Lord don't just wait till we're totally perfect and then say, well, I'll take it now. So if your faith is strong tonight, but maybe your patience is a little weak, maybe the north wind will blow on your face and it'll be strong enough that it can blow it out in the presence of the king. And then by next weekend service, you've finished another trial and your patience has reached fruition. And he can blend patience and faith together through the work of the apothecary. And here it'll come out a blended fragrance. Oh my, can't you see what he wants to be, children? Till every one of these graces and virtues are so harmonizing in our lives that through the art of the Holy Spirit, the great apothecary, that he compounds them together and he molds and makes and shapes. And then the wind of the rapture will blow. Amen. And it'll blow this fragrance from Ethiopia to Africa to Egypt to China to Japan to America to all over the world of every race and kindred and people. And it'll be the aroma
of a bride in waiting. I'm not sure exactly how close we are now. I'm not sure if we smell like a bride that's ready to go, because they would anoint themselves right before they're going into their husband. Glory! Maybe we're getting close to where the entire bride is reaching that fragrance of the rapture, to where she smells like the rapture. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. We know with patience you have long awaited the harvest of the earth. Lord Jesus, we know you won't give up on us. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Blow upon us tonight, Lord God. Blow upon us, O north wind. Here we are in the Garden of Eden, as it were, in the cool of the day, Ruach. We've come to you now in the evening time, which is what time you come down to Adam and Eve. The prophet said there in 1957 in Lima that you'd come down and say, "My children, have you enjoyed your stay on earth today?" And they'd answer back, "Oh yes, Father, it was so wonderful." And then you'd say back to them, "Papa's come down to kiss you goodnight." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then he said you'd lay Adam down, and you'd lay Eve over on Adam's arm, and you'd reach over and kiss Eve. And then you'd kiss Adam and tell him goodnight. You'd see him tomorrow. Oh, Jesus, our heart yearns for that. Why is it makes us feel that way? Because there's something in us that longs for that intimate fellowship with you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, here we are back in the garden too. I believe you've come among us tonight. May you kiss us on the cheek as it was, Lord God, and say, "Have you enjoyed your visit in church tonight? Did you enjoy going through the spices? Did you enjoy going through the garden? Did you even appreciate the correction that you needed? Did you enjoy your visit to church tonight?" Oh, may we answer back, "Yes, Father. Yes, Father. We enjoyed the descriptive things where you talked about us. Oh, but we enjoyed the correction too, Lord. You spoke to us to show us we needed to move out. We enjoyed church tonight, Lord. We enjoyed our stay in church. Hallelujah. Oh, I've come down to kiss you goodnight. Oh, Ruach Elohim. May you blow through us tonight, Lord God Almighty. May your breath blow healing. May you blow strength. May you blow maturity, Lord. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Whatever you need from him tonight, friends, just raise your hands and open your hearts. Let him come by your way. Whatever you need, reach out and touch him. Glory. Glory. Reach out and touch him and let that wind carry your fragrance over into the presence of the King. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Great Adonai, mighty God, great creator of heavens and earth. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Oh, Lord Jesus, who are we, Lord, when we think of what a great price you paid for us, Lord? Thou art worthy to receive power and honor and riches and glory, for thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and people and tongue. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight. We who used to be out there in the world drinking, lying, running around or whatever more, didn't have no more patience and nothing, Lord. Didn't have no long suffering, no gentleness, no kindness. But here we sit tonight in the presence of the King. And the King allows the wind to blow on the virtues in our life. And it is refreshing to him. In a world of turmoil, the wind blows peace from our hearts to the Prince of Peace. And he smells himself. Oh, hallelujah. Smells his own peace through the hearts of his bride. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, as we know that Shulamite is the feminine form of Solomon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you're Jesus, the Prince of Peace. We're Miss Jesus, peacemakers. Hallelujah. We who one time had no peace, going here and there, smoking, drinking, looking for it somehow. But here we stand tonight. We're not only filled with peace, but we make it. We cultivate it. We grow it. Hallelujah. No wonder you're overwhelmed when you look at us and smell the aroma that comes from our souls, Lord. Oh, you've done this. You've done this, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, children, don't you just want to love him? Don't you just want to just imagine in your mind, now here you are, you're a garden. You've got your little two hands raised up in the presence of God and you can't see it all. But the Prince, the great mighty God, he looks down inside of your soul and he sees the frankincense, the myrrh, the cassia, the aloes, the cinnamon. Oh, he sees the godliness and the love and the patience and the long-suffering and the brotherly kindness and all that that's in you that there's no way you could produce on your own. And to him, it's a garden. It's pleasant fruits. He's waiting on you to invite him. Invite him. Oh, invite him in. Come, Lord Jesus, eat of your pleasant fruits. This will be his response. I am come into my garden. I am come down into my garden. I will walk among the lilies. I've come down into my garden, into my sister, my spouse, to eat of the precious fruits. Drink, eat, eat, drink. Oh, beloved, she is virtuous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Sing something, Harry. Let's just worship him together now, saints. Let's just let the wind blow across the product of this week. What you've been going through this week, this last 2 weeks, this last month, this last year. Let the wind of God blow the fruition of that product out of your soul. What you labored and cultivated to grow and gave your heart, gave your ground. Oh, that the mighty gardener could produce his fruits. Let the wind blow across you now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Why he would care for me,
yes, Lord,
will always be a mystery.
Oh my God. Hallelujah.
He holds
the whole world
in his hand.
Hallelujah.
And who am I? And so my heart,
oh, let's worship him, children,
somehow can't help but wonder why we're together.
Let's sing it now. Hallelujah.
The King and I.
It's a mystery still to our hearts.
He holds the whole world in his hand. And who am I? And so my heart somehow can.
dots roll together. Where many people are passing by, the greatest one and I alone,
holy beggar, hallelujah,
walk hand in hand.
Oh yes, Lord.
The King,
oh yes, Lord. Hello.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands before we go? Let's just thank Him. Let's just thank Him. Thank Him for the service. Thank Him for the word. Thank Him for the worship. Thank Him that you got a mind to serve Him. Thank Him that you was allowed to be here again in the presence of God. Brother Joel, would you come? Oh, children, we've got so much to thank Him for. We got so much to be grateful for. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's not be Christians that are unthankful. Lest it turns us into people that, oh my, have such an attitude that we're ungrateful, we're unthankful. We feel like God owes us something. The church owes us something. Everybody owes us something. Can't you see what it turns us into? My, let us be thankful even for the little tiny things. Somebody opens a door for you, thank them. Somebody says, God bless you, thank them. If you don't do that, it's not in my nature. Well, you claim to have the Holy Ghost. This is what the Word says our nature is supposed to be. It'll transform your life if you don't do it. You love Him with all your heart. Amen. God bless you in the morning, Lord willing. We'll see you again.
We are in your presence, lifting holy hands to you. And here we are praising Jesus.
I never thought. Lifting.